Come on in, sit down. If you didn't get your donut before Sunday school, you can get one afterwards. There's plenty there. I bet whoever did the shopping for breakfast had a ball. I always wanted to do that, buy one of everything in the bakery. That was good, wasn't it, George? Okay, welcome everybody. Good to have Marilyn and Gerard back, even though Marilyn's late. They're back for a week tomorrow. They fly out of here. Where are you flying into?
Prague,
Czechoslovakia. If you can spell that, you've graduated from the class. Are they going to hop on a boat? What's your problem? Okay, let's start with a word of prayer and for prayer requests. I've got one. We've got some friends that are snowbirds to Arizona, and they're snowbirds from Fort Collins. And he was 83, and he's had 40 surgeries in his life, if you can imagine. When we left, he was in the hospital down there, and she wanted to get him back to Fort Collins, so she rented an air ambulance, which is not cheap, to fly him back. But he passed away yesterday. His name was Ray Gray. Her name's Sharon, so pray for them. But he was a good Christian guy, lived a long life, and had a lot of surgeries. So he just wanted to, he said he had enough, wanted to go home and be with the Lord. So what other requests do we have, prayer requests this morning? Pray for the travelers, that they have a good trip. You guys don't stay home anymore, do you? All right, pray for Gary and Laura flying out. Others? Anybody else? Okay, let's pray. Father, we thank you so much. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your blessings in our lives. Thank you for this church, and we pray your continued guidance in each ministry. Father, we just pray for your will to be done in our lives. Thank you for your love. We thank you for your word, and as we continue to look at miracles that you performed when you're here on this earth, help us to gain something from it, not just see the miracle, but see what's behind it and how it can impact our lives today. We thank you, and we pray for these requests that have been mentioned and others we know about, God, that your hand would be there to comfort, to heal, strengthen, encourage, and to provide salvation for those that we know need to find you. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, we're doing the miracles of Jesus. The first one was turning the water into wine, and it was Communion Sunday. And then last week we fed 5,000, and we had the potluck. Well, today we're going to raise Lazarus from the dead. I asked for a volunteer, and nobody volunteered. So we may have a problem with today's lesson as an illustration, because we were hoping we'd have a casket here or something to see what we could do, but nobody wanted to volunteer, so we'll just press on. Here's something to think about. Suppose you were given 1,000 more years to live. It was guaranteed. God said, you've got 1,000 years to live. You're not going to die. Nothing can kill you. How would that impact you? Just some things to think about. Would knowing this affect any of the problems you're facing now? Maybe you're facing some health issues or just old age. But would that, knowing you got 1,000 more years, would that impact that? How would this impact your relationship to other people? You know, friends, neighbors, enemies, family? How would it impact your relationship? Would it have any effect on the goals in life? Even in our older years, our senior years, we still should have some goals we should set. But if we know we've got 1,000 more years, how would that impact that? And how would it impact your Christian life, your walk with God? How would that impact that? So think about that a little bit, because today we're going to look at somebody who's given extra years to live. And so most of it's in John chapter 11. We're going to be reading all that in different parts as we go through. And of course, we've got a bunch of other passages that we're going to touch on that are related. But in looking at our handout, and if you didn't get a handout, grab one or raise your hand, Pat will get you one. Because Marilyn didn't get one, even though she was late. the handout has two parts. There's the standard fill in the blanks, and then if we have time at the end, we're going to play a song like we did last week. If we don't, we can play it next week. It doesn't go directly with this lesson, but it's related. And it's a good Southern Gospel song that you'll love. But the first blank there says, perhaps this was the most important miracle that Jesus performed. Maybe it was the most important. And as we study this and see how raising Lazarus can be important to us today, you know, maybe we'll shed more light onto that and we understand how it could be the most important. And as we go through this study, we're going to be drawing analogies between the raising of Lazarus and us as Christians living in a resurrected life. You know, in John chapter 3, he told Nicodemus, you've got to be born again. And so, you know, we talk about being born again and having a resurrected life. Christ's death and resurrection prove to us that he has power over death. So as we look at the different things in Lazarus' life and death and resurrection, we're going to see how it relates to our resurrection life. There's two other places where Jesus raised somebody from the dead, and there's a couple other places where other people were raised from the dead. But who's got Mark? Oh, Mark has Mark, I think. Mark 5, 21 to 24, and then 35 to 43. Okay, so here he raises Jairus' daughter from the dead. And Luke 7, 11 through 17, the other time where Jesus raised somebody from the dead. Okay, and Mark Lowry talks about this, says you don't want to invite Jesus to a funeral, because when Jesus comes to a funeral, the funeral's over. You know, the boy sat up and he was just fine. Well, and then we have this occasion of raising Lazarus. And the story of Lazarus is very well known, but it's only in the Gospel of John in chapter 11. Kind of interesting. We saw that the feeding the 5,000 was the only miracle that was in all four Gospels. Well, this great miracle is only in one gospel. So we're going to look at the why of the miracle, the who of the miracle, the how of the miracle, and the result of the miracle. So if you've got your handouts, we'll start looking at that. But let's read some of the beginning part anyway. John 11, verses 1 through 16. I think Gary's got that.
Mary and his sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with So the sister sent to him, saying, Lord, he whom you love is ill. But when Jesus heard this, he said, this illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of Man may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, let us go to Judea again. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you, and you to go there again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of the world. But if anyone walks at night, he stumbles, because the light is not on him. After saying these things, he said to them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to awaken him. The disciples said to him, Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will recover. Now Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought he meant to taking a rest and sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus has died, and for your sake I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him. So Thomas called the twin and said to his fellow disciple, let us also go, that we may die with him.
Okay, and keep your, those of you who read in John chapter 11, keep it open to that, because we're going to maybe reread a verse or two as we go through the study. All right, let's read this, the middle part of the chapter. I think Dieter's got 17 through 37.
So when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away. And many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary was sitting in the house. Then Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection of the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. Whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. And when she said these things, she went her way and secretly called Mary, her sister, saying, the teacher has come and is calling for you. As soon as she heard that, she rose quickly and came to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the town, but was in the place where Martha met. Then the Jews who were with her in the house had comforted her. When they saw that Mary rose up quickly and went out and followed her, saying, she is going to the tomb to weep there. Then when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying?
That's through 37, right? Yep. All right, a lot of good stuff in this chapter. And then the third part, verses 38 through 44. Okay, that one verse people laugh at, Lord, he stinketh. But I think that's in there for a reason. That just shows us he was dead, okay? I mean, his body had started decomposing and everything. It wasn't like Jesus resuscitated him. He was dead. And it was interesting too, Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth, with a loud voice. What would happen if he forgot to say the name Lazarus and he was just in the middle of the cemetery and said, come forth? You know, that would have been really an exciting miracle to witness if he didn't specify who was supposed to come forth. Okay, so the why of the miracle. Why God wants us to have the resurrection life today. Why do we want to experience a resurrection life? You know, Lazarus experienced that physically, but in our lives, in our spiritual lives, why does he want us to experience a resurrection life? Well, the first thing is for the glory of God. And go ahead and reread verse 4, Gary, if you still have it open there. So he's teaching his disciples why, you know, why did we wait a couple days, you know, and why did Jesus handle things the way they did? Why is this miracle in here? It's for the glory of God. And letter B, that Jesus might be glorified. And also from verse 4, we can gain that. Jesus wants Christians, you and I, to walk in the resurrection life, the new spirit-empowered life, because it'll glorify him. The new spirit-empowered life is the blank there. You know, he wants us to experience this resurrection life. And as Christians, we should. The next bullet says, Jesus lives out his life through us by the indwelling Holy Spirit. The indwelling Holy Spirit. John 16, verses 13 and 14. That's okay. Okay, so that we need to live the resurrection life so that Jesus might be glorified through us, so that people can see Christ in our lives. Letter C, to fulfill the will of God. Verses 8 through 10, Gary. Okay, and then Jesus wants to give us the resurrection life, the spirit-filled life, because it's God's will that we have it, and for God's will for us to walk in it. So this is to fulfill the will of God. So in our lives, let's see what 1 Thessalonians 4:3 says. Does somebody get that one, 1 Thessalonians 4:3? Okay. Okay, so our sanctification, which is God making us more like him throughout our lives. And this is to fulfill the will of God. In Ephesians 5, verses 17 and 18.
Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit.
Okay, so this letter C, it's our resurrection life is to fulfill the will of God. Letter D, to build others' faith, to build up others' faith. Verse 15, I think that's still Gary.
And for your sake, I was glad that I was not there, so that you may believe. Let us go to him.
Okay, so, you know, Jesus held back going to see Lazarus for the benefit of the disciples to increase their faith, so as to build up other people's faith. The bullet underneath D, he came to provide resurrection to all that would believe in him. He's providing this resurrection life. The next bullet, when we see Jesus do something powerful, it increases our faith. You know, think back through your Christian walk and maybe through a prayer of your own for somebody or for your own life, or maybe the church came together to pray and you saw God do a miracle in somebody's life or in the life of some situation or whatever. And when we experience things like that, it increases our faith So those who witnessed this resurrection of Lazarus, it definitely increased their faith into who Jesus was. So continuing with the why of the miracle, letter E, to reveal Christ's victory. To reveal Christ's victory. Who had verse 40? Yeah. Okay, so telling her, we're going to have victory here, and if she would believe. Jesus is the master of not only life, but of death also. So that blank is death. And so he's the giver of life, but he's also the master of death. He conquered death. He proved that in his resurrection after his crucifixion. Jesus showed us that he had victory. He showed us that he had victory over death. And death is man's greatest fear, and life's greatest problem. Pat said I could get through if I didn't share any stories, but I'm going to share a story. I've got a cousin, my oldest cousin, she's 77 or so, lives in New York City. Her name's Gwen, or Gwenny, I call her. She goes by Gwendolyn now. Never married. Her mother was an atheist, and I'm not sure what Gwenny is. I've witnessed to her and all. But just in the last few months, she usually calls once or twice a year, and I'll call her, talk to her, email back and forth. But I can tell she's been bothered. Last couple times she's emailed me, she goes to a senior center for activity center or whatever a lot too, and has a lot of friends, but she said, so many of my friends have died. You know, they're all in their 80s and all, and they're dying. So it was a great opportunity for me to witness to her, you know, about life after death and all. And I've sent her some stuff and talked to her and so forth. But, you know, as we get older, and some of us here are getting older, you know, death becomes more of a reality. This past year, you know, maybe we shouldn't have settled in Sun City as winter snowbirds down there, because everybody's old down there and a lot of our friends are dying. And it's becoming a reality more and more. You know, when you're in your 20s and 30s and 40s, death, you know, it's way out there, you think. But as we get older, it's more of a reality. So we learn here, you know, death is man's greatest fear. And it's kind of an unknown. But Jesus gave us victory over death. The second thing, Jesus gave us victory over Satan. And he's the one who had the power of death. But Jesus gives us victory over Satan. Why does Jesus want us to have the resurrection life? Because we will be a living, breathing testimony that Jesus has the victory over sin. You fill in all these blanks here. Jesus has the victory over sin, fear, discouragement, death, and Satan. And if you look at those things, those are problems that we all face. And as Christians or non-Christians, we face sin and fear and discouragement in our lives, death and Satan. But as Christians, we realize we have Christ. We have the resurrected life, and we have victory over that. We need to experience that. So this is just some things about the why of the miracle, how it applied to Lazarus, and how it applies to our resurrection life today. Roman numeral 2 is the who of the miracle. Who can Jesus resurrect? The who of the miracle. Well, at letter A, Lazarus was the object of Jesus' love. Lazarus was the object of Jesus' love. Bible tells us he was good friends. He really loved this family, Mary and Martha and Lazarus, two sisters and a brother. There's some gospel singing groups that are comprised of that out there today. The Martins, they're a good group. Anyway, we don't know that. I would imagine they probably did sing gospel songs back then, but we don't have that recorded. Maybe in a new modern translation. But anyway, and he really loved this family, and they helped. They supported him. They took him in and so forth. And he really loved this family. We could tell that. So Lazarus was somebody that he loved. Letter B, one sick to the point of death. Somebody sick to the point of death. So as we're looking at Lazarus here, somebody Jesus loved, and somebody that was at the point of death, you know, look at your own resurrection life. When Christ died for you and gave you salvation, you know, it's because he loved you, and it's because you were at the point of death, spiritual death. So we see that analogy here drawn through there. Let me read this little part here. We must be sick enough of self, of our continual sinning, of defeat, of unfaithfulness, of seeming domination by Satan, that we're willing to let Jesus do whatever is necessary to bring us into his resurrection life. So we need to come to a point where we really realize that we need Jesus. We need this resurrection life in our own life. Romans 7, verses 22 to 24. Okay, here's Paul voicing his frustration and to the point of death. Letter three, or number three, one who is dead. And you know, we're looking at the who of this miracle. The one above that was a point of death. The top of page two, the point of death, it says, before Jesus can bring about the resurrection life in us, we must be sick to the point of death. And that's what we get out of Romans 7. And then C, who of the miracle? It's one who is dead. Not just the point of death, but one who is dead. We must die before Jesus can raise us to life. Second, raise us to life anew. Anew is the word, missing word. Life anew. 2 Corinthians 4, 10 and 11. Okay, so we must die before Jesus can raise us to a life anew. And the Bible talks about us being dead to sin. And baptism is a picture. You know, we die to the old life and we're raised to walk a new life with Christ, the resurrected life. The next bullet under there is death is the only way to new life. We have to die to that old life, to die to self, die to our own will and so forth, and turn our life over to Christ. Roman number three, we saw the why of the miracle, the who of the miracle, and this is the how of the miracle. The how of the miracle. How can we experience resurrection life today? How can we experience it today? Letter A is by faith. We can experience it by faith. Gary, you still got your phone open? Verse 3. So the bullet there says it leaves everything up to Jesus. And they brought the problem to Jesus. So it leaves everything up to Jesus. And that's how, by faith, we need to leave things up to Jesus. Trust him. The next bullet, it's faith in Jesus. Verses 25 to 27. Is that Dieter's?
Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. Whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world.
Okay, that's a great, great testimony there on her heart. And then verse 40.
Jesus said unto her, set I not unto thee, that if thou wouldst believe, thou should see the glory of God?
Okay, so here we see it's faith in Jesus. That's the how of the miracle. How? It's because of our faith, because of Mary and Martha's faith, you know, how they trusted him, put things in his hands. The bullet under there, he is the resurrection and the life. One of the greatest verses in the Bible. You know, he's the resurrection and the life. And what that really means, we ponder those words. He's resurrection, he's life, you know, and we need to experience that in him. He's the resurrection and the life. And then the next bullet, allowing him to live his life through us. Live his life through us. And that's something we need to learn to do. You know, Jesus is no longer on this earth. The Holy Spirit is here and it lives in us. He lives in us. And we are God's hands and mouth and feet. And he wants to work through us to accomplish his work here on the earth. So we need to allow him to live his life through us. Letter B, how of the miracle? By the power of God. Of God. Verses 41 to 43.
Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth.
Okay, so by the power of God. The bullet under that, the resurrection life of the Christian is lived by the power of God. The resurrection life of the Christian is lived by the power of God. Romans 8, 11.
And if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who lives in you.
Okay. Before a Christian enters into a victorious life, he operates by his own power. He tries to resist temptation. He tries to work for God. He tries to witness and bring forth fruit. He does it all in his own strength. Perhaps he asks God for help in what he's doing, but he never realizes that God does not want to help him do anything. God simply wants to do it all. He doesn't want any help from the Christian. All he asks is that the Christian be yielded to him, so that he can use his body to work through him. It's by his power and his only that the victorious life is run. He overcomes temptation, he brings forth the fruit, he accomplishes the work, and he does it only if we stop trying to do it and we let him do it. So this yielding of ourselves to God to experience the resurrection life and let God work through us. So we saw the who of the miracle, the why, what was the first one, how? The why, the who, and then the how. Okay. And now Roman number 4 is the result. The result of the miracle. It had immediate effects on many different people. First of all, Lazarus. That's pretty obvious, right? It had an effect on Lazarus. He received new life. He received new life. And the victorious life is the Christian's new life. Romans 6:4. Okay, I've heard that verse so many times. Our old pastor down at our church in Colorado Springs, he would recite that verse every time he baptized somebody. And I witnessed him baptizing several hundred people in the years that we were there. He baptized 5,000 people in his ministry. So he recited that verse over and over again, a picture of baptism, baptism pictures. 2 Corinthians 5:17. So as Christians, our old life is past. We're going to walk in a new life, and we need to remember that and claim that day by day. The next bullet, Lazarus got a new place to live. Ephesians 2, verses 4 to 6. So we're raised together to live in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, a new place to live. The next bullet, he became a testimony of God's power. John 12:9, Lazarus became a testimony. Anybody got that one? 12:9, yeah. Yeah, so people came because they heard about this and they wanted to see him. So he became a testimony of God's power. He also became a spontaneous soul winner. A spontaneous soul winner. Those next two verses, John chapter 12, verses 10 and 11.
But the chief priests wanted to put Lazarus to death also because on account of him, many of the Jews went away and believed in Jesus.
Many of the Jews believed because of Lazarus. Letter B, the Jews, so one of the results was Lazarus, the impact on him. And then the Jews, their reaction was divided. Some believed and were saved. John 11:45. Anybody have that one? John 11:45. Just read 45, I guess, for a minute.
Therefore, many of the Jews who had come to visit Mary and had seen what Jesus did put their faith in him.
Okay, and then 12, John 12, 11, we just read that one too, about people believing in him. All right, then I'll get you to read the rest here for this one. Others turned their backs and plotted the destruction of Jesus, verses 46 to 53. Great, yeah, 46 to 53. The rest of this chapter, almost.
But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. Then the chief priests and the Pharisees called a meeting of the Sanhedrin. What have we accomplished, in the past? Here is this man performing many miraculous signs. If we let him go on like this, everyone will believe in him, and then the Romans will come and take away both our place. Then one of them named Caiaphas, who was high priest that year, spoke up. You know nothing at all. You do not realize that it's better for you that one man die for the people than that the whole nation perish.
Go ahead. Yeah, the next verse tells you about that verse. Go ahead. Okay, so it's interesting, you know, Caiaphas makes this statement. It's better that one guy die than a whole bunch of them or whatever. Didn't realize what Christ was dying, one person dying for all. Okay, well, for an application, I've got a glove here. And if I put that glove there and I tell it to wave to the people, you know, stand up, you know, do something, it's not going to do anything, is it? It's just going to sit there. But if I put my hand in the glove, then it can wave to the people and it can do things and so forth, because it's letting me control it. It's letting me live my life through it. And the same thing needs to be true for us. To experience the resurrection life, we need to let God work through us, this glove let me work through him. So the application, we are the glove. Jesus simply wants us to let him fill us, just like I filled the glove. Let him fill us and become our life. I became the life of this glove. So to become our life in us. We cannot do anything unless Jesus does it through us. And the glove must be yielded. The glove must be yielded to the hand. So we also must be yielded to Christ. So that's the story of the resurrection of Lazarus, what it means to us, and how it applies to a resurrection life that we can experience. Anybody have any questions or comments? We got one more lesson on the miracles, and I'm debating between a couple different ones. If you've got a favorite miracle, let me know. Or if you can demonstrate one, let me know. Otherwise, we'll just go on and see what we can do. I've got a song for you today, and this song doesn't directly deal with the raising of Lazarus. It deals with three other miracles: the healing of the blind man, the withered hand, and the crippled man. Okay? And it really takes place when, remember the story of the guys who brought their friend on the cot, couldn't get into the house, went up to the roof, took away the tiles, lowered him down. That's one of the fantastic miracles in there. You know, their faith, their love for their friend here, lowered him down and Jesus healed him. Well, Greater Vision is going to sing a song, kind of a takeoff on that. But you've got words there in your handout. Follow along and see if this is going to work. If not, it's Lauren's fault.
Thank you. bed. He had not moved since he was just a baby. Still he longed to become a normal man. Now we don't know much about the men that carried the corners of his tattered bed that day. But if we may create an illustration, we'll see what these men might have had to say. Suppose that first man said, I hate to doubt it, for Jesus touched my eyes when I was blind, and he made me see, and there's no doubt about it. But this man's needs are more serious than mine. Suppose that second man said, no need to bother, this man's condition will remain the same. Though Jesus touched my hand when it was withered, I don't believe he can heal a man so lame. Suppose that third man said, I hate the question, but no one here is more skeptical than me. Though Jesus cleansed me when I was a leper, this helpless man will never walk, you see. Then every eye was turned to the fourth man to see how he might criticize and doubt. But all three men were startled with amazement when that fourth man stopped and said his name out loud. He said, my name is Lazarus, could I testify? My name is Lazarus, it feels good to be alive. When I in chains of death was bound, this man named Jesus called me out. If you think your little problem is too big for him to solve, take it from the one who's heard the mighty voice of God. A living testimony of his death.
That should get you excited enough to want to come to Dollywood with us in October. That's a great song. I mean, he kind of made this up, but you know, it was kind of interesting. These other three guys carrying him saying, well, he healed me for this and that, but this guy, he just needs so much. I don't know whether Jesus can heal our friend here. And then the fourth guy says, my name's Lazarus. I have no doubts, you know. God raised me from the dead. Okay, let's pray. Father, we thank you for the miracles that you performed on this earth. Miracles, Father, that to help us to believe and to trust in you. Father, we just thank you that you have power over death. Father, that you can grant us resurrection life, just like Lazarus with his physical life. Father, you can give us a resurrected life and victory over the problems that we face in our lives day by day. Thank you again, Lord, for your word and for this time together. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. See you next week.